Greg Spivey. Thank you. Greg Spivey is a graduate from UIC Jane Addams College. He's been in social service over the past 15 years and a board member of the Joint Commission and the New Black Caucus board member. Currently, he's working in Cook County Jail and Infectious Diseases and is a leadership with Project Brotherhood. We had a little shorthand going on this morning.
How y'all doing? Okay. I'm going to go over the definition of Project Brotherhood. What we go by is a WHO definition. Health is a state of a complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely the absence of disease and infirmity. Which the People Health Charter go by is health is a social, economic, and political issue, and above all, a fundamental human right, not a responsibility. Inequality, poverty, exploitation, violence, and injustice are the roots of the ill health and the death of poor and marginalized people. Health is, for all means, powerful interests that have to be challenged, that globalization has to be opposed, and that political and economic priorities have to be drastically changed. And I don't know if anybody know, but Project Brotherhood started in 1998 in the summer of with funding from Department of Trauma, Stroger Hospital. We had 11 focus groups were held by Black men of diverse backgrounds and social economics groups. So basically, what the regular medical model focused on healthcare and disease, and Project Brotherhood we focus on the genetic endowment, the physical environment, and the social environment. So the doctor just won't see you for like 15 minutes. They'll make sure, you know, if it's any other issue that would cause you to have, like if someone had problems at with their family as far as diabetes, and if their A1C or the diabetes level goes higher, we try to focus on, you know, help them relieve stress, and the doctor would usually refer them to me to talk about the issues or whatever problems they have. The goals of Project Brotherhood, basically it's a male-friendly place within the health center. We have respect and experience common health belief among men, and we abandoned the medical model paradigm for services, and it's a multidisciplinary approach as far as having social workers, doctors, lay people, students, and most of our men at the clinic are Black men. So this is the issue. Black men are in trouble. Over 1.5 million Black men are in prison. 3.5 million are on probation. And in 2007, Cook County Jail, there was over 100,000 in admissions. Also, Black male problems, impoverished living condition, failure in public education. And when I first got transferred into the jail, I noticed a lot of men were like throwaway kids. They all had learning disability. They couldn't read or write. The unemployment was high, and the men earned less than their fathers, which in the old time, you can work in a factory, but now everything is deindustrialized. So it's sort of computer age, and you have to have a trade or some type of background to be successful. Why Black men don't seek help? The problem is a lot of men feel trapped, drowning in the fear of change and low self-esteem. And social services usually consist of women and people who are not like them. And African-American men would not admit to issues of mental illness. So what we use is the social cognitive theory. I just wanted to go over it. It was originally proposed by Clark and Hull in 1930 at Yale University. Miller and Dillard discovered that personality is a learned behavior. and Bandura and Walters proposed a new perspective. Bandura advanced the view to cognitive theory, which he stated that it's a learned behavior. So I want to talk a little bit about social cognitive theory. It's a psychosocial function in terms of triadic reciprocal causation, and the causal structure within the is based on person, behavior, and environment. So it goes three ways. It either goes this way or that way. And the influence is bi-directional. So it can either go either way. But the most important thing that is observation of others influence behavior change. So in Project Brotherhood, well, we focus on the Afrocentric type of Afrocentric centered principle. So we use the Nguzu Saba, the seven principles of blackness, to help the men develop a culture from that and understand themselves and learn about themselves. So in the manhood development class, we get the men a new name. We go by their birthday. We have like a perpetual calendar, and they learn about themselves. And when they get the new name, it sort of enlightens them, because they always dealt with negativity. And, you know, once they get those new names, they find out, hey, that is really me. So they sort of get that feeling of worth and, you know, as far as reinventing themselves. So in the fatherhood classes, most men think that all they need to do is have money. And what I do is teach consistency. You know, most men, they're not deadbeat fathers, but they're dead broke fathers. So the issue is, I help them say, hey, you know, as long as you be consistent in dealing with the parent, the mother, you know, come go get the mother, the child every once in a while, take it to a park, live, you know, do free things. In Chicago, it's a lot of places that you can go for free, like the museum on certain days. And social support is basically dealing with everyday issues, talking about from what's going on with Obama or whatever issue in today. Okay, so a process of our programs, we train our workers on the theory and how it works within our settings. And we incorporate this theory within our classes, social support, manhood, and fatherhood. And sublimity is really through doctors also, because doctors, if a person have a diabetes issue, the doctors make a care plan for them and help them develop what plan they need to take care of as far as exercising or whatever. So this is a new thing I want to use, personal agency. We work with the men. They have an issue, a circle concern, like chronic disease, like diabetes, and circles of influence. Circle concerns you can't really control, but you can just deal with it. And what Project Brotherhood has helped you have the circle of influence, or what can you change about keeping your medicine or your blood sugar low, or whatever issue you have as far as housing, work. You really can't change by complaining, but circle influence, you can change it by doing what you're supposed to do, which is part of self-efficacy. So what I mentioned, personal agency helps them determine the concerns versus influence, with support from peers and with them from fear of change. We use buzzwords to direct their journey as far as life versus death, which I'm saying, you know, I state what is a positive thing, what will bring life in your life, like being positive towards your mother or positive towards a child's mother, or death being negative. So what we use those words, we influence the guys and thoughts. So what I did, I was at, since Project Brotherhood, I'm sort of detached somewhat from them. I did a study while I was doing classes in Cook County, and 60 men participated in this class, and they ranged from 18 to 56. 80% African-American, as you see the table. And I did a quick data analysis, open-ending and closing the questions. And I asked these questions: has participation in manhood class changed your thoughts? 92% said yes, 8% said no. Have you been getting along with your people in the dorm? Because mostly the setting, I forgot to mention, I worked in a mental health department, and I was in the dorm, and a lot of times the guys would fight. So we had to switch over the guys every time they were fighting everything. The manhood class, because they learned a new culture, understand themselves, they was okay. And actually, in the jail, the culture was African-American, but what I did is I grabbed each person's race and had them learn about themselves. Even the white inmates didn't know. And it was kind of sad. But once they got to know themselves, they, you know, it worked out pretty good. And then I said, was learning about your culture was make you feel good about yourself? And they said yes. And from the keynote, I mean, asked what participation from manhood class. One guy said, I reinvented myself with hoping from learning about my past, getting me to cope with life struggles and dealing with the COs, correction officers. It's good to know that I'm not alone because brotherhood got my back. And I wish I had another guy said, I wish I had this class long ago, but I learned about my culture. It gave me pride and a new name and a new way of thinking. Another key informant said, Mr. G, he got caught with two cocaine rocks. He said, I lost everything from this, my apartment, my pride. At one time, I just wanted to give up. I love this class. It changed the way I think. I can take on anything from going to this class and look forward to getting help from Brotherhood when I get out. And another guy said, emulation is the highest form of complimenting a person who is successful. Everyone here wants to be a part of this class. And another guy said, he had terminal cancer. And he said, I wanted to go to jail. I had no housing, no job, and I have a terminal illness. Being in jail take care of all that. But if I knew that there was a brotherhood, I would have been there for help instead of making a choice to be free or locked up. And that's deep. I was really touched by that. And in conclusion, understand this can be used as a part of the comprehensive healthcare logic model. Inclusion of a theoretically based model has proven to change of behavior within a setting of chaos, because they would always fight all the time, and all the men would just, they would listen to my groups, and I was surprised, like, wow, you know, I listen to your group, and I changed my behavior. And meeting the men where they at, and don't add your perceived social norms. I think that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Spivey. Really quick, are there a couple of questions? Okay, right now, because we are running short on time, we're going to move along to the next presenter, which is Karen Tabb. She's a first-year PhD student at the University of Washington, Seattle, and has lived there for 1 month now. She's a native Midwesterner and graduate of the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, and her background is in community-based participatory research for health and the reduction of racial and ethnic health disparities.